This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome and hello. You've heard my voice before, and I am Miranda, but I'm here to introduce to you the most wonderful, actually the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, Muppetational podcast. And I somehow did that without stumbling too bad. So I am here to introduce to you a wonderful new podcast on Place to Be, and it is all about the Muppets. Of course, when I'm talking Muppets, there are two people in my life that I would consider talking about the Muppets with me, and I feel like love the Muppets just as much, if not more, than I do. One is my beautiful cousin Mary Ellen, who is not here today, but the other one is one of my best friends in the world, and the Mr. Place to Be Nation himself, my wonderful co-host, Andy Afton. Andy, how are we doing over here?
Miranda, that was such a wonderful introduction. I am so happy to be here talking about one of my favorite things ever. You did a great job with the show title. When we came up with it, I'm like, oh, that's gonna be a stumbler when we start doing the show, when we came up with the title for the podcast. But welcome, everybody. And Miranda, again, it's always a pleasure when you and I get to do shows. I love the Disney show we do with Steve, but this is you and me. And I can't think of anything better, any better person to talk the Muppets with, because they are near and dear to my heart. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. When people say, you know, who pick four people to have dinner with, those kind of things, living or dead. And, you know, my first answer is Walt Disney. Okay. Up there also, though, is Steven Spielberg and Mel Brooks. But the fourth seat is always will be reserved for the great Jim Henson.
Because of course.
World builders, character builders, imagination, that's what all those gentlemen represent to me. And the Muppets have, more than just being entertaining and funny, they have such a place in my heart for a few reasons, which you know, we'll get to as we talk about these shows.
Mm-hmm. So we are making our way through the wonderful catalog of Muppet items, memorabilia. There's just so much. I don't even know how to lovingly refer to it, but there's a lot there, and thankfully. The Muppet verse. There you go. We are going to make our way through the Muppet verse. And what's really cool about this is the much beloved and talked about app that, again, I will remind everyone, no, we're not sponsored by Disney. But if any time that they would like to contact me, that would be fantastic. But they have added almost the complete Muppet collection. They are continuing to add, and they have notated that there will be new additions to the Muppetverse through the Disney Plus app. So if you want to follow along with us and watch the episodes that we're going to discuss, you can do so via Disney Plus or maybe even YouTube. There's various ways I'm sure you can find some of these. Mm-hmm. We are going to begin with the Muppet Show, the original sketch comedy variety show brought to you by Jim Henson. And it goes back farther than I thought it did, Andy. Like, I didn't realize for some reason, I guess being a kid of the 80s, I didn't realize it was all the way back from 77.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when I watched it.
You did? So do you remember? So you probably remember, like, not calling, Andy is just a little bit older than me, but you're enough older than me that you probably remember more of it than I do, actually, the live parts.
Well, part of the thing I was just talking about where the love for it is. So, I you know, I'm from New York. I've lived in Connecticut for 20 years now, but I am, you know, in my late 40s, but I'm it's okay. I grew up, though, you know, CBS Channel 2 in New York, mm-hmm. every night, 7:30, was The Muppet Show. And this was something that I watched. You know, my sister's 4 years older, so she would watch it too. And my dad. this is one thing that always Muppets always remind me of my dad, because, you know, yes, my dad's still alive. So thankfully, you know, he's almost 81, but he loved the Muppet Show. It would crack him up. He would, you know, do the Ernie laugh when I was little, you know, even though Ernie is a Muppet, but not part of the Muppet Show. He has such a love for the Swedish Chef. I mean, my dad was one of those people that has an infectious laugh that when they really start laughing, it makes everybody else laugh, regardless whether what you're watching is funny to you or not.
This is the best.
My father, sometimes when he watches certain things, he loses the ability to talk. So he'll be like, he'll be watching, going, he'll be crying and like take his glasses off and just. And he would do that every time the Swedish Chef would come on. And my kids now even know that too, because he came with we made sure, like when the Jason Segel Muppet movies came out, that we went to see it with Grandpa, because Grandpa loves the Muppets, as you know, not as much as I do, but you know, it's something that, you know, he loved watching with me as a little boy. And, you know, he does it now with my kids, you know, and Jim Henson and the Muppets have other permutations that you talked about, you know, through the years. We've gotten, you know, there's been Sesame Street. There's been Muppets. They've tried Muppets Tonight, the Muppets mm-hmm. Now, the Muppets, which was that office type thing, which wasn't that terrible.
I liked it.
Bear in the Big Blue House was a Jim Henson thing that Jessica watched. Yep. She was
super cute.
And the movies, like I told Miranda off mic that, you know, The Great Muppet Caper is actually one of my favorite movies of all time, regardless of any movie. It's just so I love it so much. And not only are we going to talk about the Muppet Show on this series, though, this podcast, we're going to talk about the movies. So Miranda, how are we going to lay this out for the listeners?
So we're going to start with the Muppet Show, which originally aired in 1977. We are, for now, going to do 4 episodes at a time. It may go to 6, just because we were realizing that some of these episodes are actually only about 25 minutes long. Some are a little bit longer. So we're going to, every one of our episodes, we'll cover 4 to 6 episodes of The Muppet Show, and we'll kind of go in chronological order. So if you've heard mine and Andy's show where we're covering all the Disney classics and we're going in chronological order, it'll kind of be the same way. So we will go in chronological order. We will make reference to things to come in the future, Jim Henson works of the past and how they kind of influenced each other. But the overall premise is that we have already watched them. So this is not a live watch. We might, as a special, when we do some of the movies, do a live watch.
Oh, yeah.
But for right now, like going through the shows, we are rewatching them on our own and then kind of coming in with like, this is what I remember, this is what I feel now. And it also, for me, I wanted to bring in some of the history. I know pretty much everybody knows who Jim Henson is, obviously, and who the Muppets are, even if they're not their favorite like they were for us. But I kind of wanted to bring into history, because believe it or not, in my research, which one would think, oh, you wouldn't have to do, but I actually discovered things I didn't know. And I didn't realize that when the show first came out, so one of the things, just kind of getting into some of the history of The Muppet Show and where it came from, when it first aired, it actually did not come out in the U.S. So The Muppet Show, obviously, it's a comedy television series by Jim Henson. It's considered a sketch comedy variety show, but the series originated as 2 pilot episodes. They were produced by Henson for ABC in 74 and 75, but neither episode moved forward as a series, and other networks in America just rejected them. They didn't really want his proposal, but a British producer, Lou Grade, so let's all thank Lou Grade if you love the Muppets, he had interest in this project, and he agreed to basically co-produce the Muppet Show for a network in the UK called ATV. And then it went on to go for 5 seasons, 120 episodes for ATV, and then other franchises came forth. And then it did finally come back to CBS, which most Americans would know, mm-hmm. and from 76 to 81. So I was like, wow, I didn't realize. I just always assumed, because it is Jim Henson and it is an American show, they don't have British accents or anything. I think we have a couple of characters that might, but overall, it's an American show. Did not actually initially take place in the U.S. Well, it kind of did. It was like, here's some ideas we have. Which, by the way, did you know what those two specials were that caused it to never go forward?
I do not know that, actually.
So I would love to get my hands on these. I don't know how we would. Apparently, they're very hard to find. But one is called The Muppets Valentine Show, and it aired in 1974. The other one is actually called The Muppet Show Sex and Violence.
Ha!
And it aired in March of 1975. So I don't know where you it has sketches such as Mount Rushmore, the Stone President's trade jokes, at the dance, wrestling match. It sounds like right up our alley. Swedish Chef demonstrates how to make a submarine sandwich. The Seven Deadly Sins pageant. Like, I need this in my life.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I guess. Oh my God, Miranda, you're sending me down a rabbit hole. That's all.
Yeah, so I have to find this now, but that is some information that I learned. So I learned that it didn't originally come in, like, it didn't come to fruition in the U.S. It actually, like, came to be more because this guy in the U.K. was like, yeah, I'll take a crack at it. It's great.
It's probably in the same closet where the Star Wars Christmas holiday special is.
Oh, by the way, off topic, but you brought it up. That apparently is coming to Disney Plus. They are going to be putting it on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
I will find the article, but I read this week somewhere that the that would be coming to Disney Plus, and a lot of people are like, no. So another cool thing about The Muppet Show is, so it originally aired in September of 1976, but by Christmas of 76, so if you think about it, from September to the end of December, that's not super long. The series in UK had saw around 14 million viewers. It came on apparently on Sunday evenings. And then by January of 77, over 100 countries had acquired the series or were making offers to acquire the series, which resulted in $6 million in overseas sales.
Wow. For that time, too, that's pretty amazing.
Right? That's amazing.
I didn't know that it was recorded or shot in the UK.
Yeah.
Right? That was something that I learned very recently. I may have been incorrect when I said, you know, it was not every night. It might have been on like Monday nights or something like that. But I do remember it was something like that we watched every week, whatever it was on. You know, I remember one of those, you know, you watch those old films of like, you know, your kid like laying on the floor and your dad sitting in a chair behind you. That was us.
Right.
Basically watching it. I sat there, you know, I would have my, you know, on my stomach and have my hands like under my chin, just like, you know.
So I'm sure people can, you know, we knew Jim Henson from Sesame Street at this time. And we actually have Sesame Street to thank for this show too. So Sesame Street debuted in 1969. And the character exposure he got from this, he really loved it. And he wanted to do a more, what he wanted to, he was feeling like he was being typecast, Henson. And he wanted to be more than just a children's entertainer. He wanted to be an entertainer. And as Andy said earlier, he was much more than, you know, he was an inventor and a puppeteer and a producer, and just, he ended up being amazing in so many different fields. But it all comes back to his puppets, basically. But he really wanted to break into that adult demographic, which at the time, probably, you know, now we have a lot of sketch comedy shows, and they had some then, but with puppets, no. So he wanted to break in, and that's where he made those two specials and kind of gave us, as you said, the Muppetverse.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's truly amazing what this man did. And plus, you know, Jim Henson deserves a lot of the credit, but you have to remember people like Frank Oz, Jerry Jewell, I think his name is Dave Goles. They were there. They were, you know, voice a lot of the other characters. I mean, you know, Kermit is great, and he did, you know, I'm sure you were going to get to that, he started on The Muppet Show. He was a Muppet reporter, I believe. But, you know, you don't have Miss Piggy, voiced by Frank Oz. You don't have Great Gonzo voiced right. by, you know, Dave Goles, I think, did Great Gonzo. And you had Jerry, you know, all these other famous, well, you know, right. people who are really Muppet nerds, so to speak, right. like I am, will know the names. But, you know, without all these other characters to complement each other and have such that, it's just, the cast of characters, they just play off so well. And they're just created the types that they're created. That they're it's just they're great on their own, but the sum of their parts. I mean, what, I forget. I always mess up that phrase. But as a whole, the Muppets, as a unit, as an entity, is just incredible. It's just the way that they, you know, the comedy, the just yeah, this the specific character traits really work well with each other.
Oh, for sure, for sure. So starting the Muppet Show, it came back to the U.S., and that's where young Andy was able to enjoy it. Thank you so much to the primetime access rule that brought it back to the U.S. So basically, Andy works in television, so he mm-hmm. knows what this is. Primetime access rule that we can say thank you to as well. It's a broadcasting regulation that was instituted in the U.S. by the FCC, or the Federal Communications Commission, in the 70s. And this was to restrict the amount of network programming that a local television station either owned and operated or was affiliated with. So doing that, it actually allowed that more stuff could air during a prime time, quote unquote prime time. So this rule was repealed, and that's why we have all the shows that we do now. But if it weren't for this primetime access rule, we probably also would not have gotten it back over here. Apparently that played a huge part in getting the show here, which then brought in some big names, which is where we're going to start it today. Like I said, today we're going to be walking through the first four episodes of The Muppet Show. The format is pretty simple, and I think that's what makes this show so genius. It had a bunch of short segments, musical acts, along with backstage scenes, which I think are some of the funniest.
Fun fact, though, I actually had to do a project or a paper on the primetime access rule in college. I had to have, I think it was like 10 articles from broadcasting.
I think I remember you vaguely telling me about this.
A trade magazine, yes. Yeah. So I became quite familiar with the primetime access rule.
Yeah.
During my days in college.
I didn't know much about it. I had heard about it. I'd heard it thrown around, you know, as someone that is enjoys TV a lot and obviously has been podcasting for a long time now, talking about a lot of television shows. I've had it come up. I've read it. I knew what the FCC was, but I didn't really know what it entailed and how much it affected shows, like allowing them to be on air versus not allowing them. So I thought that was really cool too.
I mean, if you know why Fox only programs till 10 o'clock at night, so they could still fall under certain, you know, FCC rules, so that they could show local news at 10 to get a leg up. And then they could put those off-net shows at 11. Mm-hmm. Why you see networks like that? You see your 5, 11, 9, those channels. I'm talking about New York channels. I don't know what they are like in other parts of the country or the world. Also, another fun fact, the title of my senior thesis was The Boob Tube, Regulation of Sexual Content in Primetime Network Sitcoms. So there you go. So you learned a little bit about Andy from college tonight. Anyway, we're talking about The Muppet Show, not my, my time learning about television broadcasting at Iona College.
Well, no, I think that will play into our show, and I love that. So if anybody, as we're recording, if you have questions for us about The Muppet Show or about Andy's knowledge of television broadcasting and how it plays into this, let us know. I'm sure Andy doesn't mind taking a few of those questions for sure.
Not at all.
So the season was broken down into, I forget, do you remember how many episodes there are in this first season that we're going to be discussing?
There's 24. The first four seasons have 24. The fifth season has 22.
And there's 120 total, as I mentioned earlier. But today we are going to be talking about the first four. And one thing I will note really quickly before we get to talking in these, if you are like me, I use an app to mark off what I have and haven't watched called TV Time. Again, not sponsored. But I noticed something today when I was going to mark off that I had watched these four as a rewatch so that I can make sure where I'm at. And that is on the TV Time list. What is episode one on all the listings online and on Disney Plus is actually listed as the final episode for some reason on so if you use any of those apps where you're trying to keep up with like what you watched, the first one, in case you're confused, on TV Time especially, is not correct. Obviously, the first two pilots we referred to, we are not going to talk about today because we don't have access to them yet. But that's the Muppets Valentine's Show and the Muppets Show Sex and Violence. But season one actually goes into Kermit the Frog becoming the host of the show. He is the former, well, the former host, Nigel, gets a part as orchestra leader. They do bring that up. Other characters, and there's other plots. We're going to see the Swedish Chef and all your favorites, Miss Piggy, Gonzo the Great. There's everybody's here pretty much. But episode one is with Julie Prowse, which we're going to play a game. We have two games that we're going to play here. Mm-hmm. Andy's created one. I created the other. The first game is going to be how many of these special guest actors, most of them are actors, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
So we're going to play a game. How many did Miranda know who they were? Okay. We're going to play another game where Andy is going to keep up with how many are still with us here on the Mother Earth.
Yes. Yes. So this is Julia Prowse, who I remember. I don't remember anything really that she's done, but I do remember her being, she was more known as a dancer, I guess a Broadway star, so to speak. And she did do commercials for pantyhose.
Yes.
Because she made a set of legs.
I actually looked her up. So we can mark this one down. So for anyone keeping tally, this is one for Miranda did not know. I looked her up. She is, as Andy said, she is a dancer and an actress who four decades career included stage, television, and film. She was raised in South Africa and immigrated to the U.S. after World War II. And she's known for, it says here, her attractive legs. And she was described after her death as having arguably the best legs since Betty Grable. So mark that down as one for you as well, Andy. That'd be one for you.
Yes, unfortunately, in 1996, of pancreatic cancer. You know, it's one of those things, too. Like, you know, for me, like watching this show, it's like, oh man, I haven't heard of that person in so long. And then you go and you look up and see if they're still alive or not. So, yes, unfortunately, Julia Prowse did pass away, but, this is a fun episode though. So she was a talent, she was a beauty. So, you know, I'm sure she's been missed by the community since that happened.
So I am actually going to write down in my little notebook that I prepare our podcast. So Miranda didn't know, we got one no longer with us. We have one. Okay. This is for real people. This is our game that we're going to go with. So episode one is Juliet. As we have mentioned, this is airing January 16th of 1977. And we have a couple of different skits here and we'll break through them. So at first we have backstage where Scooter and Muppy try to convince Kermit to allow them to do a number. And then they make some demands. This one honestly cracked me up. I love all of the backstage, a lot of all the backstage. And this one, when Kermit is just kind of a little bit of an ass, and he's like, no. And then Scooter reminds him, well, my uncle owns the theater.
I totally forgot about that aspect of the show. That's why Scooter. And I'm like, I wrote in my notes, Scooter playing a nepotism card right away.
Yeah. Oh, like, threw it down. And then I also wanted to, and I was like, do I need another dog? This is how Miranda's ADHD brain works. Yes, Miranda has ADHD. If you hadn't figured that out by now, like, ha, good for you.
Yeah.
So this is how my brain works. I'm watching this and I'm like, Muppy. Oh my God, it's adorable. I need another dog. I need to name it Muppy. I don't need another dog. I live in a flat in Eastern Europe where I have to walk my dogs three times a day, and I already have two of them. Don't need another dog.
Yeah, I mean, and for me too, it has been a very long time since I do own a bunch of the Muppet Show's seasons on DVD.
Yeah.
And it's been a long time since I watched them because I think the kids were little last time I attempted it. you know, now the beauty of streaming services, you know, it's at our fingertips. But the opening joke I love with Fozzie. The open was different, which I don't remember. That it's like instead of all the archways, it is a big cake.
And I'm wondering if that comes later, because I remember archways as well.
Yes, the archways come later. And also Gonzo in the later open plays a trumpet, not a drum. Like, so that's a growing joke. And I didn't realize Mana Mana was in the first sketch.
That made my day, by the way. So that was the next one I was going to get to. We get to our song, which is Mana Mana. Mana Mana.
I remember as a kid playing that like on a flute at Colonial Williamsburg, and must have annoyed the shit of everybody that was in earshot.
Yeah. This song is one of those that even if you don't know the Muppets, you know this song. It gets stuck in your head. And even if you like the song, you're like, shit, damn it. Like, because it's stuck. It's there. I also have good memories of this song for multiple reasons. So I mentioned my cousin Mary Ellen at the top of the show when I opened. So one of the reasons I love the Muppets so much, it was actually something I was very close to my cousins growing up. We're all like within like stair-stepping of age, basically. And Muppets was something that we all like watch together and we all love together. Like to this day, it's like one of her favorite things. When it's her birthday, I send her the Old Men to remind and like, oh, you're another year older. They better make a seat for you kind of like thing. We loved it. So when this song came on and I'm rewatching, like it just reminded me of like spending time with my cousins and like singing the song over and over again. And then we also used to torture my D&D DM with this song. It somehow got brought into the campaign once by another player, and that other player and I would constantly, like under our breath, we'd be like, "Mana Mana," and he'd be like, "Are you kidding me again, guys?" So I had forgotten that this was like a straight off the bat song. Like, so
yeah. Mana Mana is actually song. The name of the character too.
I don't even know their names. I just the little alien.
That's his name. No, his name is Mana Mana.
Oh, that's right. I just called the little doo 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 ladies aliens.
Yeah, I don't know. I forgot what they were called. Yeah. But I have a Mana Mana figure. Actually, it's a smaller one. So okay, everybody knows that, you know, Andy's a big dork, childlike, childish, whatever you want to call it. I do have a collection of Muppet figures that are actually not on display right now because I have to put some shelves up in my house. But I do own a couple of these are like regular action figure type things. I have almost all. There's a couple of outliers I don't own because they were, you know, hard to find or very expensive, like Zoot. I do have a Pigs in Space playset as well as a Swedish Chef Kitchen. Two things though that have escaped me. There was a backstage set which featured Scooter, which I never got my hands on. I think it was up to like $100 when normally these things were like around 30 or 40. And there was an Electric Mayhem set with Animal that I think I had actually tried to order on a website, and it was out of stock, I guess. But then they had these other sets though where they would come and they would be like on a little base kind of thing. And Mana Mana is one of them. It was Mana Mana, Sam the Eagle, and Throg. Now, if you don't know the name Throg as the Muppet, he is, you'll see, we'll get to him more when we get to the new open. But when you see the giant Muppets, which kind of are a little fear of mine, giant Muppets. He is the big blue one with the ears that go up. He is actually the biggest Muppet. Mm-hmm. So. Yes, that is so. Mana Mana, I have him on a base, so I see him all the time because he's actually on my desk. Although I'm trying to remember if I left him at work since I haven't been at my work desk in a year.
So, I want to talk about most all of the acts in the show, but I don't want to go into all of them because then I feel like that kind of like ruins it for the people that decide they want to follow along with us. But I'll just go ahead and mention. So we see Gonzo's act, Flight of the Bumblebee, if you even want to call that an act. So go check that out. It's kind of funny. Yeah, he's just eating a tire. It's kind of funny, kind of not. I didn't like that one as much. At the Dance, which is a reoccurring one, you will see this a lot. And this one's titled Mind If I Smoke. This one was kind of funny, but I like the one that we're going to see in episode 2 even better. And Juliet, we see Juliet come out for the first time. She dances to the second half of Scott Joplin's song Solace. This is very beautifully done, and it's not a funny skit. It's just an adorable little skit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, also you notice some changes, like Piggy is a lot different in early on. Her voice is deeper. She's not as defined character. I mean, you know, you have Gonzo's a little different as well. I mean, you know, they tend to evolve and get a little, go with the times, so to speak.
Yeah.
Rolf, I didn't realize, remember how much Rolf had, you know, was featured as well.
Yeah, and he does look a little bit different as well. Mm-hmm. I feel like now he's more dog-like and more fluffy, and his coloring is better. Past Ralph or original Ralph was a little muted in color, a little muddy, and kind of almost looked like something was wrong with his fur. But then again, we're looking at it on, like, high-definition television, and it was made in 77, so I don't know if that has anything to do with it
either. Yeah, that could be it, too.
Yeah.
And also, you know, two of my favorites, Statler and Waldorf. We get them, the curmudgeons in the balcony.
They're amazing.
Yes, they are so. Yeah, they just add that little bit extra. They're kind of the audience, but snarky.
Yeah.
So and the way that they basically just. They're grumpy old men. They talk shit to each other.
They are grumpy old men. That's like the best way to describe them. They are the original grumpy old men.
They are. And we're gonna chronicle it too. They just poor Fozzie, Statler and Waldorf just not let up on him.
Well, let's be honest. Poor Fozzie in general for these first few episodes.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, Fozzie just does get abused a lot because he, you know, I feel like I'm a real life Fozzie sometimes when telling bad jokes and they just go over like a fart in church. So yeah. I understand that.
Yeah. So speaking of Fozzie, he actually gets a sketch in this one called Kid Fozzie Comes to Town. Apparently in the UK, there was a sketch or a UK spot that I was reading. They used to do these because commercial breaks are less. So they would do these little spots like in between commercial break to make you want to come back to watching the show. So that'll be another thing. Andy and I will see if we can try to find them. But this one was called You and I and George. No idea what it's about, obviously. Mm-hmm. Then we get a couple more songs and we get a little bit more Juliet. So we get Juliet talking to Kermit about frogs. And she convinces him that he's the Robert Redford of frogs. And he's just, like, gushing. Poor Kermit. He's, like, falling over with, like, lust, basically. Or love. More love. But he's, like, and just, like, dripping with admiration. And the funniest part about this is he's, like, have you ever kissed Robert Redford? And she goes, no. Like, she's, like, upset that she didn't get to kiss Robert Redford. And he goes, well, what about the next best thing? And what is it she says to him? Oh, Paul Newman's here? And he's like, no, me, you know, he said, I'm the Robert Redford frogs. I thought that was really cute. So they find that basically the special guest usually comes in on some sort of talks. They call it a talk spot. It is a sketch, but it's like a talking spot. They usually do some sort of guest act. And then they might show up one more time, but that's really all of their in. And then backstage, they're kind of participating in the backstage stuff too.
Yeah. You get them like coming out of their dressing room every episode. Yeah.
Looking for Kermit or like going on stage and stuff like that. So backstage actually, there's a main story going on backstage, kind of like on this one, it's Scooter and Muppy. So we keep having them come back. And so one of the songs I want to talk about that cracked me up, it plays into backstage. So Kermit was like, fine. He ends up falling into Muppy's demands, all except for the fact that he refuses to change the name of the show to The Muppy Show from The Muppet Show. And because of that, Muppy refuses to now come on stage that Kermit has agreed to and do a song with Scooter, which is supposed to be Simon Smith and his amazing dancing dog, right? And Fozzie is upset. That's part of the sketch. He's upset. Why doesn't he get a spot on tonight? And Kermit is exasperated and is like, guess what, Fozzie? You do get a skit tonight, which turns into Scooter singing his song, Simon Smith and His Amazing Dancing Bear.
Yes.
I'm laughing. Like, I can't.
It was so funny.
Foggy attached to a dog collar and chain. While Scooter sings. And then Fozzie suddenly gets this, like, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. And starts just doing these crazy, what you expect Fozzie dance.
Yes. Muppet dancing is some of the best.
Muppet dancing is funny. It's like Charlie Brown dancing.
Yes.
It's like the best thing in the world.
I'm telling you. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you really want to crack up at something recent, go on YouTube and look up I Wish It Was Christmas Today with the Muppets. Yeah. They did on Saturday Night Live, and Kermit is a spaz and it's hysterical. So a little sidebar there. But no, this that was just because poor Fozzie just wants to be in the show and he's used to getting the hook.
Yeah.
So anytime he gets a chance to do something, he jumps in.
Maybe we should start another game called How Many Times Does Fozzie Get Crapped On?
Yeah.
So the other, to kind of finish it off, is another song that you can look up. It's done by the Muppet Glee Club. It's hysterical too. It's really good. It's very well done. But like the opening part of Kermit trying to convince them, apparently this Glee Club has never practiced together before, is the whole premise. And they end up doing the song Temptation, which is not what you think it is. So just go watch that one. It's basically like a dance that you, or Temptation is a song that you would do like an Argentine tango to.
Yes. Something like that.
So at that point, they have introduced to you the Muppets as well as they can and brought you the basics that you know. So you get Monomma right off the bat. Mm-hmm. You get Gonzo and Fozzie and Scooter and Kermit. And of course, you see Piggy. You know who she is. Kermit even talks to her in the Glee Club skit song there. So they introduced fairly a few. And then we kind of go on into episode two, which...
Well, one last thing, though, about episode one is they get that really great button at the end with Statler and Waldorf in the balcony. Yes. And then we get Monomana to get one last Monomana in. So
one last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just... it's tremendous. And also, one thing I forgot, too, that they do is... that they do a Muppet version of the guest star at the end of every episode. So.
Oh, yeah, they do. They give him a Muppet version. And
yes.
She's all excited. And she's like, can I take this home with me? Or actually, I think the Muppet asks, can I come home with you? Mm-hmm. And then Kermit insults the Muppet and says, well, she's not as pretty as you. And the poor Muppet's like, excuse me?
All right. So before we get into the second episode, there's a couple of things I have to say, though, about my personal weirdness with Muppets. I love the Muppets, but two things about Muppets do kind of weird me out a little bit.
Okay. It's
the giant human-sized Muppets, like, kind of scare me a little bit.
Oh, like, because, we're going to see in episode two, actually.
But there are other ones, like, I think I was traumatized when I was a kid, like, watching, like, a Muppet on, like, some other show, like, eat everybody or devour everything. And it kind of, I guess, scarred me. And also, when it's a Muppet... but with human hands, like the Swedish Chef. As much as I do love the Swedish Chef, the fact that he has human hands kind of like weirds me out a little bit. But that's just Andy being Andy, I guess.
So it's kind of like when we did the Cinderella episode and I explained that I have this weird thing about certain styles of decor because of Cinderella sister's butts.
Yes.
It's just a weird thing from childhood that apparently, by the way, sidebar, my mother never knew. And I told her the other day, I was like, you don't know how much those curtains terrified. They were beautiful during the day, but at night, no. And she was like, oh my God. She laughed for like 5 minutes. She had no clue. I was like, thanks. But yeah. Okay. I kind of get the giant Muppets because I think that makes them more... a little more realistic. I could see that, especially if you had the weird, like you saw the thing with it being attacked. Okay, I could see that.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Croft Superstars a little bit, where you had like,
well, I have this
Star Puppet stuff and stuff. Yeah,
I have this thing. That's why I'm kind of afraid to watch the sex and violence. I think it was I'm afraid to watch that because I have this weird thing where I love. Things. Okay, so the Muppets kind of touch into adult, but they're still funny and like grain of salt. I don't know. It's not like watching South Park. Okay.
About it. I guess there's something.
Yeah, there's still an innocence to him. So it's not like that movie that came out a few years ago where it was like straight up.
Oh,
like,
I love that movie. That's grown on me.
I hate it. I don't like when my cartoons and my puppets are over-sexualized. Like, I can't do it. I can't.
You know what it is? It's not about the sexualized thing. It's just about the swearing and the funny dialogue. That's why, you know, honestly, it took me a little while, but when it started going on cable and I was just, you know, flipping channels, I would get into it. That's how it's kind of grown on me.
Okay.
I am wanting to do a laugh in theater, but I'm also scared to do a laugh in theater with that movie.
Oh, it's crass.
Yeah. That is a big, not safe for work, explicit episode of laugh in theater when it does get done.
And I can't do it. I just can't, but I get picked on for that, but that's okay. But I can't do it. So I understand your whole, like, I don't like when they're the ginormous ones and I don't like the hands because I don't like when they're overly adulted, basically. Yeah.
You like your Muppets to be child, right. not like childlike. So
I like that in between where like your kid can sit and watch it with you and they're not going to get half the jokes. Shrek, all kinds of other movies I could
name. There are references
and they make a lot of sense, but
like when Shrek makes a joke, like you think he's compensating for something, you know, that's a joke that a kid's not going to get, but we're going to be like, yeah, you must have a little willy kind of thing.
Right. Right. They're not going to get it, but so I'm okay with that, but I don't like when they're overly sexualized or anything. So I'm a little scared to watch that one, but I feel like I have to now. I just hope it doesn't ruin it. But so far we're good. And so we go into episode 2 and we're going to have to do another check mark for Miranda because technically we have 2 sets of guests on this episode and I knew one, but not the other.
Oh, yeah.
So on episode 2, our special guests are Connie Stevens, as well as Sesame Street characters Bert and Ernie. Obviously, I knew who Bert and Ernie were.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Right. But yeah, Connie Stevens, I know Connie Stevens. I know she was like one of those, she was more towards the tail end of the golden age of Hollywood kind of stars. She's like one of the younger ones, I guess, so to speak. Yeah. And she was in Grease too, also. But I couldn't really tell you much about her filmography, but I do know of Connie Stevens and how beautiful she is.
Yeah, she's a very lovely woman. She's done things that I know. She was in musical comedy Rockabye Baby. She was in, her debut film was Young and Dangerous. I just did not recognize her. And off the top of my head, I could not tell you who she was. But she does not get to go on yours because it says on her Wikipedia page that she was born in 1957 and is still presently alive.
Wow, I mean, she was 20.
She was born. She started acting in 1957. Oh. She's still active as they still have her listed as an active actress. Mm-hmm. But she was born in 1938 and is currently 82 years old, living in New York.
All right, so that means she was like 30, in her late 30s when she did this. Okay.
Yeah. So that means if you're keeping up, we are now at 2 that Miranda did not know and 1 that is no longer with us. So on this one, our main backstage thing that is going on, story, is that Fozzie believes everyone hates him because he overhears Gonzo and Kermit having a discussion about Gonzo's teddy bear, which clearly needs a bath. Like, it needs to be...
Yeah, it's kind of...
It needs some
kind
help.
Of a decrepit bear here.
Kermit is even like, it's molding.
Yeah, poor Fozzie overhears there. You know, it's a classic, more of a sitcom trope that they use here, where it's like, you know, you overhear something or you hear it the wrong way.
Well, they keep saying the bear. They just keep saying the bear.
Yeah, that bear, that bear is disgusting.
The bear, that bear, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the trope, or that's the thing that's going on behind the scenes the whole time. It plays into the entire episode. Fozzie believing everyone hates him. So again, how many times does Fozzie get crapped on? He is big time this whole episode because he's genuinely getting upset. He thinks they want him gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We get a song right off the bat that I totally forgot existed.
Oh, the
Called
Lydia?
Lydia the Tattooed Lady.
Yeah, I this all right. I don't remember this sketch either. And this is a fat tattooed pig, not Miss Piggy though. You
No, it's
know,
not Miss Piggy. Her name is Lydia. She's a totally separate pig, covered in tattoos, has
wearing a
glasses.
two-piece. I put down in my notes to quote our good friends, you know, Tim Capel, Jennifer Smith, all the others, that's what are we doing? Like what is like there are sketches that we're gonna find that like do not make any sense to anybody, and this was the first one in my opinion. Like what is happening, you
I
know,
agree. So
like what was it, what
apparently,
was in my tea this morning, you know, kind of thing.
right. Apparently, this is a song that was written and appeared in a Marx Brothers movie.
Okay.
And it became one of Groucho Marx's signature tunes. If you're unfamiliar with Marx Brothers or who Groucho Marx is or the Marx Brothers, definitely go look them up. It makes sense that they would take and pay homage to them. They were a comedy act. Very successful in their comedic
Oh yeah.
careers,
If you have
but
not watched the
apparently
Marx
it was from
Brothers,
them.
I would recommend watching Duck Soup or oh shit. There was one I had to watch in a film class in high school, and it was one where they're in college. Yeah, it's just if you're a comedy lover, comedy, you know, go back to the beginning, you know, Chaplin, Buster Keaton, Marx Brothers. That is the kind of stuff that luckily I got to exposure to in film classes in high school and college. So yes, and you could definitely see the influence here in the
And
Muppet
a
Show.
lot of those are actually going to influence the show and show up appear again. So this is not the first time that they're going to be paid homage to or things of that nature. One of the really cool things about this episode that I know you loved is this is the first introduction to the Swedish chef, and
Yes.
he does his skit called Meatballs.
But he does, yes. Bork, bork, bork. My father used to sing that stuff to me. He'd go, like, he would be making breakfast, you know, for me, like on the weekends. He's like, bork, bork, bork.
But yeah, my dad could only cook like four things. And he'd be like staring at the stove, and he'd get like halfway through stirring it. And sometimes I think he did this when he thought nobody was listening, and he'd be like boop boop boop. And I'm like, really, really? Okay. So yeah, this is your first introduction to Swedish Chef, which I know is a lot of people's favorites. He's just lovable, and I don't know, he's hysterical.
Yeah, he's kind of ridiculous, but
He is.
you know, he does show up in other places later on, and there's a great ESPN SportsCenter commercial with him
There
featuring. You know, when we get to Muppet Treasure Island, there's an hysterical line that Kermit uses. But yeah, well, I actually have it on right now, and it's the whole, you know, he's 90% Muppet, but his
is.
hands are
His
human,
hands.
freaking me
He
out a
is
little
one of
bit.
the few that has human hands. The guest act comes next. Oh, I'm gonna gloss over it unless Andy really wants to talk about it, only because it was funny. But it has the large Muppets that Andy doesn't really care about called the Mutations. She makes a joke about them, how it could have been the Temptations. It'd been nice if it was the Temptations, and Kermit's like, well, they are the Mutations. And the Mutations basically try to take over the stage dancing and singing instead of allowing Connie to sing A Teenager in Love. For me, it just didn't work because I knew she wasn't a teenager and I was just thrown off by everything. But the Muppets themselves trying to like outshine her is pretty funny.
Yeah, it's a whole upstaging part, and she's singing Teenager in Love. You know, the mutations don't, I don't know, maybe they don't bother me as much, but
They're kind of funny.
they are funny. You know, they're like, you know, what would happen if like, you know, a Muppet and a human had a baby. That's kind of like what you get. You know, you get the part Muppet sized, and no, I actually enjoy this sketch. Believe me, I'll write in my notes when like it says like I'll put Andy got freaked out.
Okay, so
So
Miranda did
that's
not
another
enjoy
counter.
this sketch as much. I was like, mutations are the best part for me. Okay, like, I don't
No,
know.
I like them, this one.
Okay, so we go back to the dance. It's pretty funny. This one's entitled Classy Rats. This one was funny. I thought this was the one that had my favorite. It was not. Now I'm trying to remember what episode that we watched had my favorite.
Line.
Anyway, But so we go back to the dance. That is, again, that's a reoccurring spot. To mention a group we haven't really seen yet, but in the UK spot of this show, we get a song by Electric Mayhem.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Love the Electric Mayhem.
We love Electric Mayhem. We will see them again. They are phenomenal. If you're a Muppets fan, you already know who they are. But they apparently did a song called Ain't Misbehavin' for the UK spot. Which brings us back in our American version to our guest act. It's Connie singing They Long to Be Close to You. I kind of glossed over this one. No offense to Miss Connie Stevens. Apparently, she's an amazing actress and singer, but I just was not interested in when she was doing her part on this one.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just to kind of like rewind slightly, I love the Floyd and Zoot, and we also have Janice in there doing the bit of blues, kind of like Dr. John, who was, if you don't know who Dr. John is, he voiced those all commercials, that really deep voice when you gotta get a clean kind of thing.
Because, oh, I loved him.
Yes. You know, Fozzie, you know, I put C-Block and Kermit upstaging him here a little later in the show, as well as, you know, then we have the conductor chatting with Zoot.
Mm-hmm.
So to speak. And he, you know, he kind of lays down the line with Zoot a little bit, which mm-hmm. Zoot, again, another one of my favorites, because he just is like this like bluesy guy. Like the Electric Mayhem is kind of a product of the times.
Yeah.
Because you could definitely tell that, you know, not to adult size them, but you know, there's definitely, you know, something going on before the show with the Electric Mayhem.
Yeah.
You know, you're definitely, they have their own dressing room. There's some
changes that happen. Not to interrupt you, but there's some changes that happen with Electric Mayhem as we move forward. And in our watch of this, it's, you know, obviously Janice, which you mentioned, and Zoot, they are part of it. They stay part of it. But there's some others that come and come and go. So that's kind of neat to watch as well.
Yeah, the lineup changes slightly. I mean, mm-hmm. it's, well, we right now we have the original five, and I think they all stay, though. You know,
Dr.
You have
Teeth, Animal, Dr. Floyd Teeth is Pepper. The leader.
Because there are times when it's actually, they're billed as Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
Yes.
There are times.
Yes, they are. You know, Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
Mm-hmm. You have Dr. Teeth, who plays the piano. You have Animal, who is mm-hmm. the drummer. You have Janice, who's the guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
Floyd, the bassist, and Zoot, the saxophone guy.
Yep.
And later on, like, Lips will join.
Add in Lips.
Mm-hmm. Will be the mm-hmm. trumpeter, and you know, sometimes Rolf will play with them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you'll definitely see some difference.
There's also a Clifford and a Jim that will come in and then leave.
Yes.
I think Jim was featured in the original pilot episode. And he's supposed to be like a character of Jim Henson on banjo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll get to it in like one of the next episodes. There's also a Southern band too. That's mm-hmm. kind of like their version. Yeah, and we always have that one part of the every episode where Kermit's sitting there talking to the guest star. That's where
they call the talk spot. Yeah.
Yeah, where Fozzie kind of like, you know, gets in the way, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say the term. But, you know, then we get Zoot doing a little solo spot here with the conductor. And
Manamana.
Yes, Manamana returns. Yeah. Again, I thought Manamana was a one-off in my memory.
Same. I had totally forgotten that he did a little bit more. I had forgotten.
And another thing I love about Manamana, too, is that when I went to college and everything, I had a good friend of mine who's a DJ, my friend Ivan. And we would be like at the bar, and he'd be playing like all current, like, you know, this was in the 90s, you know, early to mid 90s. And all of a sudden, he'd throw Manamana on, and the place would erupt. It was hysterical.
Yeah, like everybody loves it.
Yeah, because we all, you know, we're all around the same age. So we all grew up watching, so we're all familiar with it. But, you know, now if a DJ just threw Manamana on, they'd be like, what the hell are they doing?
So Gonzo's acts, again, are one of those things that you just kind of have to watch for yourself. So I actually love Gonzo as he's one of my top Muppets, but his acts are just not really something that we'll probably go in depth, because like this one, he grows a tomato plant to the 1812 overture.
Yeah, we basically just have to say what the act is.
Because you just kind of decide if you're going to watch him eat a tire to the flat of the bumblebee or grow a plant to the 1812 overture.
Well, you do know what Gonzo is, right? Do you know what his species is?
This comes up in Gonzo in Space, or Gonzo Goes to Space, or oh crap, what is the name of that one?
Muppets from Space.
Muppets in Space.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so it comes up later.
Yeah, well, he is a weirdo. Yeah. That's what he is. So he's everything. So there is, you know, only a weirdo can come up with these acts. One thing, though, we kind of glanced over to is this is the introduction to Hildy as well. Hildy is not a major character, but she is present a lot. She's the costume person.
I had actually kind of forgotten. Yeah.
Yeah. So we will see her. She's kind of like an older lady. You know, there are one thing about too is that they are a lot of familiar faces as we go through. Like the janitor, we see a lot. We see a lot of monsters start to look familiar. Menomina is actually in the audience in a shot in like one of these episodes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there are so many little characters that we will get very familiar with, which is part of what we love about the Muppet Show too. Is that
the characters always come back? It seems it's a repetition of characters, which allows you the time to fall in love with them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Kermit just had the shit that Kermit has to deal with backstage. Wonder you can see why he flips out at times.
Well, and I have old Kermit is a little snarkier than current Kermit. Current Kermit is very kind. He does slip out. He has some severe like anger issues because he pent up rage is what we'll call it. So it's kind of interesting to see him like snark. Like when he was like, no, I do not like this dog. another reoccurring that you're going to see, and it's one of my favorites because I'd always found them hysterical, was Muppet Newsflash.
Yes.
So this is our first introduction to Muppet Newsflash, and like at the dance, it is a repetitive skit that takes place. He's pretty funny. He has human hands too, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
He does. And he's like, why did you call that out?
Why do you have to mention that, Rana? Actually, no, he doesn't. I actually play it now. But he does, his fingers move, which makes it a little different.
That's what it is.
Because you have somebody like Kermit, who is they just control his arm.
Yes.
But with the Muppet Newsman.
Because when he's talking, he talks like me with his hands.
So. Yeah, he needs his digits to do some things.
He does. Mm-hmm. We get another guest act spot. And the reason we get a third spot for guest act is because you have to, as we said, Bert and Ernie appear, and Bert comes on and he sings Some Enchanted Evening, and then Connie appears again and dances in the background, and he's clearly in love and enthralled with her, so he sings this adorable little song called Some Enchanted Evening. I liked this skit. I think I liked this one a lot because I really enjoy Bert and Ernie.
Oh, yeah. Bert, Ernie was always my favorite. Bert gets the short straw all the time, gets talk crap about. There is
Fozzie. He gets crapped on a lot.
Yeah, I remember in the early days of the internet, there was an article going around called Bert is Evil that somebody wrote. And Bert's like present and all these things. You'd see the silhouette of his head, basically. Yeah. Bert always gets like the short.
Misunderstood.
Yeah. But I love this because Bert gets he gets a little solo with Connie Stevens here. So so good for Bert here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's funny, too, is if you close your eyes and you really you listen, you hear Kermit and Fozzie, basically, because it's Jim Henson. And I forget who does Fozzie's voice. But yeah, but this was I don't remember this cameo, but this is so great. Whenever they show up, whenever the OG Sesame Street people show up, like when we get the cameo for Big Bird in the Muppet movie, you get Oscar the Grouch and Great Muppet Caper. I pop. Mm-hmm. Big time.
Yeah.
Because it's so special when you see them.
Oh, for sure. So that was episode 2, which I forgot to mention did air in February 12th of 1977. So you're going to see a gap in these, and I find that highly interesting. So that's why I keep bringing up like when they actually aired, because to me, it's amazing that people were willing to wait like a month, two, three, four before they watch them. And maybe it was also introducing them and seeing how well they did before they picked up more. I'm not sure. So at this point, they've decided they're keeping it. And they pick our guest, Joel Grey, which you can put that one in the Miranda did know. I did know.
Awesome.
I did know Joel Grey. And this one, it was, so the last one was February, right? So Joel Grey's episode aired September 5th of 1976 somehow. It's listed as airing before. So this is the order that they are in, but his episode actually aired before. So I'm wondering if that's when it aired in the, you know, in the, anyway. So apparently, depending on where you go, again, this goes back to they are in a different order, and I don't know why. I don't know why.
This one gets, first time we've seen a disclaimer with the current, you know, 2020, you want to call it woke culture, whatever you want to call it. I'm trying to figure out, I think I know which guest they may have been referring to. The one that takes place in Turkey, I think.
I believe it does. And it's actually a pretty long disclaimer. I tried to read all of it. It actually, for those of you, it actually says this program includes negative depictions and or mistreatment of people of other cultures. These stereotypes were wrong then, and they are wrong now, and rather than removing this content, we want to acknowledge it is harmful impact, learn from it, spark conversation to create a more inclusive future together. Disney is committed to creating stories with inspirational and aspirational themes that reflect the rich diversity of the human experience around the globe. And then it says if you would like to learn more, there's actually a website that they have. It is disney.com/storiesmatter. So.
Yeah. And I think it's the same one.
That take place.
Yeah. I think it's the same one that we see in front of like Dumbo, Peter Pan, Aristocats. Yeah, those are all stuff which we'll talk about.
This is the first time I actually read the full thing, though. So.
Yeah, and we will I guess, and we do cover this on our other show, the Disney Watch, when these two come up. So you know, look, I understand, I get it, but you know, it's wrong. Like, and there are certain things where I'm not going to go off on a tangent. I'm not going to get too into the weeds on this, but there are certain things, you know, like the whole Pepe Le Pew thing, I don't agree with, but you know, understanding though, the whole depiction of the crows and Dumbo and Song of the South and all that stuff. Yes. Wrong.
Like
then,
looking at them,
wrong
understanding
then.
It's wrong, but understanding why it has to stay so we can teach
we can learn from it.
Yeah.
If
we just cut out everything and pretend it didn't happen, then we don't move forward in anything. Yes. That's all.
We will see that going forward. Yep. And I'm applaud to Disney to you know, and being somebody who works in this industry, that is something that I deal with too, because there are certain symbols or depictions that you do not want to see. You know, you talk about like the General Lee with the Confederate flag is a big no-no, you know, the Nazi symbol, those things, but there is a historical context about it, and you don't learn about the history. You don't learn, you know, that phrase that everybody hears, and it's so true. If we do not learn from history, we're doomed to repeat it. And that's part of what this is all about. Yeah. So that was your public service announcement today by Andy and Miranda. We will continue on with the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, motivational podcast.
Wow. You did that really well, really fast.
I've had to say it on some like read. So,
When
I've been promoting the show. So I think my batting average is about 75% on getting it right now. So
nice. Yeah. I actually stood in front of the mirror and practiced it now that I just told it myself. But yeah, I practiced it and I still kind of screwed it up a little bit. It's okay. So our special guest on this one is Joel Grey. He doesn't get to go into either category this evening because he is currently still alive at the age of 88, living in Cleveland, Ohio. I did know who he is. He has actually been in several musicals and is very well known. He's mentioned or he's notated as being an American actor, singer, dancer, director, and photographer. And obviously, he is best known as portraying the master of ceremonies in the Candor and Ebb musical Cabaret.
Yes, I believe it was the one with Liza Minnelli.
Yes.
With him. Yep.
He has actually won, I think it's worth mentioning because it's very important, or to me, I feel like this is an honor. He has actually won an Academy Award, a Tony Award, 2 Grammys, and a Golden Globe.
So he's just an Oscar shy of a... No, did he win an Emmy? Did you say that?
No Emmy. No,
he's one shy. He's half an EGOT.
Yep, almost an EGOT, but no. Yeah.
He got the Grammy, the Tony, so he's the good...
Yep. So the main backstage story, as well as Fozzie's acts, because he gets some acts in this one, they all kind of culminate together, and it's basically... Fozzie's jokes on any subject. That's the whole conversation they're having backstage and then during Fozzie's act. Apparently, he's not very great with his jokes. And he's not, bless his heart. No. Hence, Andy mentioning him getting the, what do you call it? It's like a cane.
Oh, he gets the hook.
He gets the hook, yeah. So it happens a lot. This one also has two things I will mention because I won't go too deep into them. But the UK spot actually does appear on this episode on Disney Plus. It's Sherlock Holmes and the Case of the Disappearing Clues.
Yes.
It's hysterical.
It's so funny.
That one is one of
where the monster eats everything. That kind of scared Andy a little bit, but yeah.
Features Miss Piggy, so we kind of get more Miss Piggy for once. So we're at episode 3 and we're getting more of her. Two other things is we get two Muppet news flashes. One is Boffo the Human Cannonball. The other is New York State is held hostage by a retired bus driver. Both of these were actually cut in season 1's DVD and the German television versions. So if you own the DVD, as Andy does, you will not see those. They were cut. Which leads me to bring up something. I sent this to Andy. I found this in research. If you want to follow along with this, there is a Reddit user who has gone down a deep hole because apparently as we get further into our watch, there are episodes that don't exist on Disney Plus or have been edited and altered. And he made an entire list, this Reddit user did, that I'll be referring to as we go forward. And Andy has it now too. So far for season 1, we're pretty good. But
yes.
If you have the DVDs, there's things that are going to be cut that you can finally see on Disney Plus. And those two Muppet news flashes are one of them. Also on this is a segment, Wayne and Wanda, called Stormy Weather. It is also not going to be on your DVD. But from what I remember, it is on there, correct?
Yes, yes, we do see Wayne and Wanda. This is the first time we actually get their names because we did see them in the first two episodes.
You've seen them before. You just they didn't have a name.
They're actors.
Yes.
Yeah. One thing I noticed too is that when Kermit's doing his little guest spot with the person, whenever he crosses his legs, it looks like the guest gets thrown off. That's one thing I noticed here. Because it did, I think it did happen in the last two episodes.
Yes, it does, and he kind of folds. He does this weird like fold.
Yeah.
It, like folds his body. That did creep me out just a little bit. I won't lie. Like the way he like molted, basically, I was like, ooh, what is happening?
And this is the first time I believe we get Sam the Eagle, as well.
He's not mentioned in the notes here, but yes, this is the first time you get Sam the Eagle. Was he named as Sam
weirdos.
The Eagle, though?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe so, yeah. Yeah, he introduces Wayne and Wanda because they're wholesome. They're basically not crazy Muppets like the rest of them.
That's right.
Sam is like the S&P guy. Yes. Standards and practices guy that's there. And again, I suggest you seek out because, you know, well, we're going to talk about it on the show. Actually, I'm going to make Miranda watch it. Although I think she's been to it and seen it, which is Muppet Vision at Disney Studios.
Yeah. We got to do Muppet Vision before it, because it's no longer there.
No, my understanding. I believe it's still there. It's just, it's one of those that seems to be on the chopping block quite often. So, it is still there and hopefully it'll still be there in August when I go there. That is a big Sam the Eagle. You know, this is a musical about all countries in the world, but mostly America. And there is actually a brand new, not a brand new, but it opened like right before COVID. There is a restaurant that is Muppet themed in the American pavilion. I forgot exactly what it's called, but it's a barbecue place. And it's called something Eagle or something. the Regal Eagle or something, I believe it's called, and it's Sam Eagle. So yeah, Sam becomes a pretty big in terms of Muppets. Mm-hmm. He's not part of the core group that we see, but he'd
be like a B-list Muppet.
Yeah, he's a B-list Muppet that comes in and tries to keep them in check as much as he can, which is an impossible task.
Oh, it is totally impossible. So he's trying to like keep them clean, basically, and Kermit's trying to keep them organized, and it's impossible for both of them. This episode is heavy on references to American musical theater or Broadway productions, and I think that's because of who our special guest is, Joel. It's a nod to him, but there's several acts that he takes place in. There's a guest act called Wilkoman. This is a song from Music Cabaret. There is another guest act called Razzle Dazzle, which is from Chicago. And then John's story, Talk Spot, which is really funny. They make it funny because as Kermit is asking him about his life, instead of letting Joel answer, he's basically like, didn't you blah, 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 and tells the story of Joel's life. And he's like, well, yeah, I guess there's nothing more to be said.
Yes. And they mention his famous daughter by name, too.
They do.
Who is Jennifer Grey's father. Jennifer Grey, you know, baby from Dirty Dancing.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Yes. And lots of other things. So, you know, we get a little reference there to that. Do you know who Jennifer Grey is married to?
Oh, goodness. I feel like I should, and I maybe do, but...
Agent Coulson himself, Joel
Clark Gregg. Oh, that's right. She is married to Coulson.
And she did play Mindy, which is her former Rachel's former best friend on Friends, who ends up with the guy she left the altar. Mm-hmm. Okay, back to the Muppets, though.
back to the Muppets. And if I'm not mistaken, I can't remember some of the later acts, but she may appear again. I don't know.
I don't remember. Yeah.
I don't remember, but we'll get there. And we have to mention Gonzo. Like you said, we'll just kind of mention it. So this one is Gonzo destroying a vintage automobile to the Anvil Chorus. This one was funny. I enjoyed this one. The last two, I was like, what is going on here? But then again, as you said, he's a weirdo. So this one was pretty funny. We go back to the dance, and this one is entitled Family Jokes. I liked this one a lot. So this was a very musical episode, and it's heavy in the music. There were actually more skits than there have been in the last two. And I think it's because of how much music there was, basically.
And this is the first time, too, we really see Fozzie get abused by Statler and Waldorf. It's one of the only time that they get together. They're on the same page as when they're making fun of Fozzie.
Yes. And they, honestly, those two old guys, like, they pop in through the whole show. So they are a skit in itself. So it's like the thing is going on backstage. The whole story is backstage. But you also have the two guys in their own private little box in the theater that are their own story as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that one, not to run through it really quick, but it really is so much like musical performance that's pretty much the gist of episode three. Was there anything else that you wanted to add about episode three before we move on to our final one for this episode of You and I?
No, I mean, I think one thing I noticed, because I do like to have this stuff on while we're discussing it.
Yeah, we do a lot of background watching sometimes.
Yeah, is that if you... you look in the audience here on while Gonzo is performing, you know, if you pause it there, you will see, you know, familiar faces in it. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to get to it. So here we go. We have Phenomena, but there's also, like, you know, one of the male pigs you see a lot. A lot of the characters you see in the ballroom dancing. Yes. But then there's Sam the Eagle just staring.
Just stoic.
Like, what are we doing, people? Kind of thing.
Like, this is a hot mess.
Yes. You are all weirdos.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So,
Sam is going to be continuously, like, weirded out. Because clearly there's 120 episodes for Sam to be like, ugh.
Yeah. Sam gives it the whole college try, but there's only so much he can do.
So going into episode four, we have, we'll pull this up so that we can see where we are in our game, as we're calling it, our two games. So I can get half a point for this because I recognized Ruth Bazzi, who is our guest on episode four, recognized her, didn't entirely remember her, couldn't tell you what she did, but I knew her from somewhere. I was like, oh, she's.
Yeah, she's one of those, she's familiar faces. Yeah. Ruth Buzzy is really funny. I know her from growing up. She was on Laugh-In, which I'm not that old. I didn't watch Laugh-In when it was first on, but I did watch it on when it was on Nick at Night. Mm-hmm. And she did a lot of classic sketches with some famous characters. Also, for those of you younger, she played Screech's mom on Saved by the Bell. So that episode where, you know, the Elvis statue or bust gets broken and they have to get Nerdman or whatever his name is. They have to get the money for it. It's also the famous episode where they do the ridiculous, you know, Barbara Ann lip sync and and what's her face is in it. Tori Spelling as Violet is in it as well. So so that's where you may recognize for the younger folks. Now, when I mean younger, I mean people like in their 30s or early 40s could recognize Ruth Buzzy. But no, she's a very funny woman. So
it was her voice for me. So I looked this up when I told you that she was very familiar, but I couldn't figure out why. And it's because she was Mama Bear on the Berenstain Bears that aired from 85 to 87. Yes, and I watched that show a lot. So, I don't get a point for not knowing, thankfully. And Andy, it appears that you also don't get a tick mark. So,
I don't really want these tick marks.
I know we don't
want them. It's just a fun game to play, I think.
It's just a nice little thing. So, Andy does not get one, and I do not get one. Ruth is currently 84, living out her life in Westerly, Rhode Island. So,
Westerly's a nice place. I've been there. Very, very nice on the water.
So she's still going. So as we're going to talk about this episode to finish off our current show here. But to go ahead and give you the tally for today, Miranda didn't know two of the four, and no longer with us is only one. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. They're all in their 80s, but only one is not with us. This one, basically we get to what we called Kermit's anger management issues. The backstage story is what they're referring to as the wind-up TV host.
Yes, and Scooter's playing the uncle card again this episode.
Yeah, he has played the uncle card again, and this time it makes him do his Kermit thing. We get Electric Mayhem, though.
Yes, we get the full setup this time.
It's a full setup. They perform the song Sunny. It's a soul jazz, which I love when they do songs like that. I feel like they fit really well. Fantastic introduction to Electric Mayhem. If you didn't get to see the Electric Mayhem introduction, that was a UK spot, quote unquote.
It's also shot just like one of those old music videos from that time period.
It is. So we go back to At the Dance. This is the one that I felt was hysterical. It's called I Have 3 Feet. And
yes.
He says something about, or she says something about, you got to stand on your own 2 feet. And he goes, oh, well, that's why there's a problem. I have 3 feet. And then he says something about, I used to have 4, but. And then at this one, there also is a lady that's stuck in the chandelier. And they just keep dancing like nothing's wrong. And I don't know why, but I just kept laughing at this. I found it hysterical.
Yes. And George the janitor is always in this one, too.
Yes.
And he's usually the one dancing with the purple woman. That's the one that got stuck in the chandelier.
Yes, the purple woman gets stuck in the chandelier. Mm-hmm. They're pretty funny. We get Wayne and Wanda again, which I liked this skit. Row, row, row.
Yes. And Animal ends up in the balcony, too, right before that, though.
He does.
Which is really funny. Anytime you get Statler and Waldorf, you know, kind of throws them off. Where he's stretching, Statler's foot.
Is this, I think in this episode, Statler, it's like, he starts talking and all of a sudden goes dead quiet. And he's like, oh, I've got to change my battery hearing aid again. And he's like, ha, 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 I love doing that to you. So apparently he purposely like just starts mouthing words like he's talking to make him think that his hearing aid battery is died.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done that to a friend of mine who has, he has like inner ear things, but sometimes I've done a joke with him, but I remember we went to see, I know how terrifying that could be though for somebody too, because we went to see, that crappy Planet of the Apes remake, and in the theater, the sound crapped out for a few seconds. And I could see my friend like putting his finger in his ear and starting to panic. And I'm like, literally like, no, I hear it too. I hear it too. You're fine.
It's me too. Yeah.
I mean, that would have helped that movie though, but yeah, anyway, right. But that was funny, but it's kind of mean too at the same time.
It is. But if you're a really good friend and you can do that with each other and they understand, like, you're just joking, you're not being mean to them. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of like knowing that you're accepted when you have a disability. I could be wrong and somebody may get really mad at me for saying that, but I don't know. My son says, he kind of is hearing impaired. He doesn't need a hearing aid, but he said what makes him feel comfortable with his friends is that when they joke about or make a joke or not pick on him, but they make a joke, he says he feels comfortable with it because he knows that they're doing it out of love and not like meanness. Yeah. And he says, you know the difference. He said, when I'm in public, I know the difference in someone being mean and trying to be funny. And then he said, I also know the difference. He's like, I'm learning the difference. This is hard for him being on the spectrum. He's learning the difference of when somebody's being funny because they've never been taught better, trying to be funny because they've never been taught better. So that's what I mean with my comment.
Yes. So Muppet Newsflash returns also in this one.
Yes, it does return. The Atlantic Ocean has been condemned. I don't know. We get the guest act, Ruth, comes out and does a wonderful song. Everybody knows it's from 1967. Can't Take My Eyes Off You. Fantastic. Very well done. We do get the UK spot because I actually remembered this sketch. It's one of my favorites. It's Ralph, who we've talked about earlier. Rolf.
It's how it's pronounced.
It is, but it depends on where you are from the country. So every time I try to say Rolf, it just doesn't come out right, and I end up saying more like Ralph. So I know who he is, people, but I'm probably going to call him Ralph.
Yeah, but just to slightly backtrack a little bit, in the Can't Take My Eyes Off of You sketch, I believe this is the first time we've seen Sweetums on the show. He is the most famous and most fleshed out of the you know, human size or larger Muppets.
I did not realize that. That is a good call out.
Yeah, he has a personality. He has he's one of those. He thinks people are afraid of him just because of the way he looks. Mm-hmm. And he is quite funny. And we do see him. We see him quite a bit going on later on, like in the Muppet movie, and also you actually do get to see him in Muppet Vision. Yep. He does. Somebody dressed up as a Sweetums goes running through the theater. So, and he's quite funny.
Does he creep you out, though?
You know what? Sweetums doesn't because of his personality. That's the thing. Like,
by the way, mm-hmm. Did you know he's an ogre? He's a Muppet ogre.
I could see that.
Yeah.
And Ruth messes with him so much in his sketch, too.
Yes, she does. Poor Sweetums. He's a Muppet I like. I like him a lot.
Yeah,
I didn't realize it's the first time that we see him. Or that's what I think is really cool about this is you and I are both watching it. I'm learning things, even though this is not the first watch for me. You're noticing and learning things, even though it's not the first watch for you either. I think that's really cool that we're noticing different things too.
Yeah, honestly, I got to be honest. A lot of this stuff I have not seen since I was a kid, so it's far back in my memory recesses.
Same.
So it's like sometimes some of it's like, oh my God, this is the first. And for me, I'm looking at it also in as a kind of studious way where I'm trying to get things of value to add to our discussion. So that's why I'm a little more hyper aware of certain things.
It does. When you're watching it, you're almost watching it like you're in some sort of class or something. Mm-hmm. So it's really neat. This is actually one of the songs that we started talking about, Ralph doing this song. It's actually one of my favorites of all of the Muppets songs ever. I didn't realize that it was so soon in the beginning of this series. I don't know. I just, for some reason, thought it was much later. But it's I've Never Harmed an Onion. I feel like most people have heard this song. It's I Never Harmed an Onion, So Why Do They Make Me Cry? I'm singing this to myself a few times because onions make me cry. I love it. And it shows his talent. So Ralph is a piano playing dog.
Yeah.
He's fun. He's really good, though.
Yeah. Ralph grew on me over the years. At first, I was not a big Ralph fan.
Oh, you were not? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, from what I can remember from like some stuff, but right. You know, we get to like Muppet Babies and we do get to a Great Muppet Caper and stuff. I really do start enjoying him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the talk spot on this, even though I enjoyed this episode and I enjoyed Ruth a lot, I did not like this talk spot. And that's the only reason why I have to bring it up. She's basically stands and they talk about, food. It's a food discussion, basically. And she talks about how she hates fat. And then the whole punch joke to their talk is that, but she loves food.
Yeah.
And there was a really good joke in there about how I once had a friend that ate so much fat that she turned into, that she grew and grew, and then she rented herself out as a duplex. And I was like, oh, that's so funny and horrible. Like,
yeah, and yoga and this stuff wasn't really that much pop.
She talked about eating organic and doing yoga, and I was like, those in 1976, you were getting called some names for saying you did yoga and ate organic and
you're hippie.
Yeah, hippie, exactly. Mm-hmm. Miranda's a hippie.
I didn't remember that. Yeah, I still have yet to try yoga, which I probably should because
for my. Oh my god! I'll send you some.
Okay.
I'll send you some. It's my favorite thing in the world. One of my
dairy products. Things? That's a no. I have it on. Yeah. Why?
That's the one where he folds himself. Where I was like, ugh, I can't.
Yeah.
Kermit like does this weird like scrunch, and it like creeped me out for some reason. So Fozzie gets an act. The greatest straight man in the business.
Yeah. We get this.
This is
bad. Staller and Waldorf really, really do a number on him in this episode.
Yes, they do. They sure do. But this is one of those skits that you're going to have to watch for yourself because I don't even know what to say.
Yeah. Oh, the houses? Or Fozzie?
Fozzie.
Yeah. Yeah, they are relentless. And this is Fozzie is, trying to, this is one
he's
thing.
He's trying, too. But some of them, he's trying so hard and he thinks he's funny and he's like, but it's not funny. And I'm like, I don't get it.
Yeah, but also Fozzie, who cannot handle hecklers, when you're asking for audience participation, really just, they people who are, who like to heckle or try to be be the ones on show, that's where they really smell blood in the water. They go in for the kill on that.
Yes, so much.
Yeah, and Statler and Waldorf are really bad.
Oh, they're so bad. And again, they're their own little story, so you really have to watch them. My Caden tells me that there is on YouTube a video where somebody's compiled the two of them,
Old Men,
and you can see just a bunch of their little things. Of course, some of them you wouldn't understand what they're talking about, but they're still hysterical. Yeah, and it's just like all of them. I have to find it. Of course, he watches so much to go back in his watch history and find it would take me too long. But apparently, this exists. It didn't surprise me that it exists, but it does exist.
Yeah.
We might have to find that. We have just a couple more acts. I don't know what I was paying attention, okay? Mm-hmm. But for some reason, I don't remember you can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. Did I, block this out?
Mm-hmm. Was that the, which one are you talking about? Because we have the interrogation where Ruth Buzzy turns it around on them and where she's talking too much and they want her to stop.
I think it happens after her interrogation. Apparently it's listed as happening after her interrogation, but I don't remember it.
And then we got the Piggy, can't tell the real Kermit. Then we get the first appearance of the houses, which are kind of a little, those are up there on the freaky side.
They are. I liked them, though.
I like them, but, you know, this becomes a recurring.
Yes.
This is like, really, it's just a quick hitter. It's a transition. You know, it gives you a chance to.
It's a transition piece, yes.
Yeah, to reset from one sketch or the backstage to the next one. It gives you, so it's not like a jump. So, like, exactly. Say we want to go from Kermit dealing with this backstage to Kermit dealing with that backstage, but there has to be a passage of time. Well, let's put this quick joke in there with these kind of freaky looking houses that talk.
So the wind up Kermit is not only Kermit spazzing out and like blowing up and being like, bah! But it's also that Scooter, again, reminding him that his uncle owns the theater, the Muppet Theater, by the way, has sent a wind up version that's supposed to be better. I guess it's because they don't have to pay him. He's just like a wind up toy. They can let Kermit go kind of deal. And that's where, like you said, Piggy, wind up Kermit starts hitting on Piggy basically and is like, let me take you far away from here. Let us have a marriage of amazingness and love. And then he's like, let me whisper sweet nothings in your ear. And he literally is like, shh, shh, shh. Like, we don't hear what she's saying. And then all of a sudden, she's like, how dare you say that to a pig? So we're starting to get more of the Piggy voice that we're used to. Still not quite there, because obviously it's a different person. But in that moment, when she gets heated, it is closer to the Piggy.
We didn't get the classic karate chop. Hi-ya!
No, she does smack him, but she doesn't do that.
Yeah, but it doesn't become like what it will be, which is one of Piggy's signatures is the hi-ya.
Yeah. Kids the wrong Kermit, which is the real Kermit. And then she passes out when the wind-up Kermit was like, oh, I think you hit the wrong guy.
Yes.
Like, wait, what?
Then we get to the jug pan with the buffalo roller skating and noticing that
how did I not remember this?
Well, I remember the jug band, yeah. Okay. I don't know if I remember the song, but you notice that you can't see any of their eyes.
No.
Kind of freaky. Maybe they had to save on their eye budget, I don't know. But the jug band does go through some changes.
Like, they don't care about their look. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it does change a little slightly, but it is another recurring. Because you got to appeal to all parts of the country.
Yes.
You know, you can't have Electric Mayhem, which appeals like the North and the West and all that, but you need to get that Southern folks, man. This country band here.
Or the outdoorsy country way of living life people that you have like up in, you know, the
they don't
Northern Midwest and the South.
Well, I remember when we had the Greatest Song of the 80s tournament and we were falsely accused by some of the Southern contingent of Place to Be Nation of our Northern bias by not really including many country songs at all in that tournament. So the Muppets are trying to avoid that. Yes, I know. I apologize to the Southern contingent in the lack of country songs outside of, you know, The Devil Went Down. Well, Devil Went Down Georgia, I think it was 79, but I think it was like Elvira by the Oak Ridge Boys and that was it. Or Mountain Music by Alabama.
Yeah, but I think in your defense, while I was one of the outraged, I think in the defense is you tend to pick things that you're more familiar with and you listen to more. And so maybe you just didn't listen to them as much as, say, people that like me and the rest of us that were like, are you freaking kidding me? That grew up in the South and heard it. Like, I heard Elvira at least once a week. The one down in Georgia. Are you kidding me? That's played at any party ever. Dixieland Delight.
In 1979, which is why it wasn't in the tournament.
But I know. I'm just saying. So, yeah.
When you look up like Billboard charts and stuff like that, you look up top 100. You don't look up the country.
You don't think about there's a chart for country and a chart for hip hop and a chart for there's so many various charts now. I get it. I know.
And we get back to the show though. We get Ruth Buzzy doing her yoga.
Yes.
In a panel of experts, is the human body obsolete?
Which. I thought it was hysterical.
This is a very funny sketch, yes. Although when you think of Ruth Buzzi, you don't really think of somebody who does like health food and you know, you would think of like a Cheryl Teagues in this pot.
Yeah, you would think of somebody different, but at the same time, because I couldn't remember much about who she was, I guess when you look her up, she really was interested in a lot of this. And so, like she said, you know, she was doing organic before organic was a thing. She was doing yoga in the 70s was starting to be a big thing, and then it kind of died off, and then it came back. But yeah, one of my favorite parts about this segment that we're still talking about is they look at it is, so is the human body obsolete? And they even think, I think at one point they said, was William Shakespeare in fact bacon? I can't remember where that was said in this episode, but I wrote that down here for some reason. Maybe again, Miranda's ADHD was like, oh, bacon, William Shakespeare. I don't know. But at some point in this, it was William Shakespeare, in fact, bacon.
Yes. You know, it's funny, yeah. Too, is that, you know, on like the streaming services, you see things like skip open, skip credits. I will never do that.
No.
You know, skip intro, whatever. I will never do that on The Muppet Show. Sorry. This is all part of the experience.
Yeah. And
with the band playing at the end and
it changes a little over the years. So watching that change is really cool too.
Yeah. Plus you get the button at the end of every episode with the last line. It's usually Statler and Waldorf.
Mm-hmm. Typically they get the last word basically.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Always. And then you get Zoot kind of doing his last note, then looking in his sax.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He does.
Yep.
So that is our start of our dive into the Muppetverse. We're going to continue to call that because I dig it and it makes sense. If you want to follow along. You can go watch the first four episodes of The Muppet Show on Disney Plus.
Yep.
I was actually going to add something to that. Oh, there is a multitude of information out there as well. There is a Disney a Muppet Wiki, if you're familiar with fandom.com, that does all kinds of things. A lot of information on there is amazing. So there is a Muppet Wiki that you can go to. There's a Muppet Show Wiki. There is ton of information. There's a lot of books when I was doing research that I have added to my Amazon list that I really want to watch or really want to read now as well. I'm finding there's a ton of Muppet books. Like there's Muppet versions of like Romeo and Juliet and King Arthur. And so those are in my Amazon cart at the moment. There's just a lot with the Muppet Show, and we'll get to as much of the goal is to do it all, correct, Andy?
Yes, yes. What we are kind of our roadmap will be for this pod is we are going to talk each episode, like Miranda said in the beginning, 4 to 6 episodes of The Muppet Show. And when we get to the end of every season, we're going to do a Muppet movie. Whether we decide to do a discussion or a live watch, that's still... We're still figuring that out. But that is fun, and it will be Miranda and myself. For every episode, you know, we may bring a guest in here and there, but, you know, we prefer for this series, at least, this is something that we want to do together. We both love this. We love podcasting together, I am really looking forward to this. This is going to be a monthly show, so you can look for it. It will probably drop somewhere towards the middle to the end of the month on a Thursday, but there, you know, lots of great shows here, and we're just hoping that this one will just slide right in with our coverage of everything Pop Experience the Pop Experience. Yeah, yeah. I just, you know, that's one of the things I love about being part of this group and this feed is that if there is something you're passionate about, something you love, and you just want to talk about it, and you want to show it love and respect, and you want to do it with somebody else who feels the same way as you, we can. We can do that. And whether we get 5 people to listen to this show or 100 people or 1,000 people, whatever, this, the fact of that, you know, you're getting to rewatch these shows, you're getting to show them the love and respect and talk about it. And for those of you out there, if there's something that you love and respect, if you're a big Chippendales Rescue Ranger fan, if you're a big, you know, I don't know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan or Clone Wars, whatever. If there's a show out there, a movie, a series, and you want to talk about it, you want to do a pod, you know, come seek us out. Send us a note. Say, you know, we're looking for people that are just passionate about pop culture, whether it's current, whether it's past. And if you want to talk about it and think that people, you have an audience out there that people might want to hear you talk about and they could relate to you, then, you know, by all means, come on down. You know, we're family here. We're always looking to expand. So that's, again, one of the things that we love about this place.
Yeah. There are plenty of places that you can reach out to us as well if this is something you're interested in, or if you just want to become a larger part of the family. We have a lot of people that converse with us in our Facebook group that are not podcasters on the feed or any of the feeds that we help to promote, and we consider like brother sister feeds to us.
Yes, exactly.
But there are a lot of people in that group that you can, I think we're, do we have to request to join or the, I can't remember. Anyway,
I think you have to request to join it.
Yeah.
Or,
and yeah. One of us will approve you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It is the Place to Be on Facebook. Is a, like I said, is a nice sized group. You know, there are people just, it's a forum to talk about things you love, you know,
yes.
You know, as of we're recording this, this is going up not long after recording, but you know, one of the big pop culture topics right now is the Snyder Cut of the Justice League, where some people were so excited and there were some of us that were like, whatever. And we're pleasantly surprised. I mean, there will be by the time you hear this, you may or may not have heard of Pop Goes the Movies episode on the Snyder Cut of the Justice League, but that is a big thing. And then some weeks it's about, you know, which Girl Scout cookie do you want to get rid of? Or what's your leprechaun name? We just differ.
Or some weird negativity that I don't need in my life. Like which Pop-Tart is better, hot or cold? And let me just say, room temperature is the only answer.
For me, it depends on my mood.
I'll buy that.
I've eaten
them hot before, so I can't be totally. But
I have become one of those who prefer, if it is going to be hot, you microwave it, not toast it. I don't want to burn my Pop-Tarts, but you know what? If you get that frosting and that filling just a little gooey, Miranda, it kind of enhances the Pop-Tart a little bit.
See, like but, with room temperature, they're ready to go on the go. You can eat them. You can move anywhere. You can go anywhere.
I will eat them right out of the package too. But if I can, and I don't eat Pop-Tarts very often because, you know, they're not that good.
I don't either. But they're really expensive here.
Oh, okay. Really expensive. All right. Note to self. Send Miranda a care package of Pop-Tarts.
They're like €6 a box. And $1.10 American is €1.
Oh, my God. Those better be the best damn Pop-Tarts I've ever had in my life. Jesus.
They're one of the only, like, you know how my son only eats like 7 things, right?
Yeah.
Pop-Tarts are one of them. Oh, like, no, certain Pop-Tarts are one of them. Yeah, so I found a place to buy them, but yeah, they're like €6 a box.
I'll have to go to like BJ's or Costco and send you a care package of them. But for me, like, I gotta go blueberry frosted, raspberry frosted, and s'mores. Those are usually the chocolate fudge ones. You know, like, I have not eaten a lot of Pop-Tarts in the years. Like my son doesn't eat Pop-Tarts, but Jessica does, my daughter. So she actually, she came home for a weekend from school a couple weeks ago. And
if I remember correctly, isn't that one of the first things she asked you was like, Dad, where's the Pop-Tarts?
Yeah. Yeah. So I bought a box of Pop-Tarts and, I missed her leaving. She said she was leaving and I went to shower and I guess her mom came and got her and they, you know, didn't stick around. And I text her. I'm like, I miss you. She's like, I took some Pop-Tarts. I said, those were for you. It's okay.
She's great.
But that's what we're trying to say, though, is that we talk about anything and everything.
Anything and everything.
Wrestling, sports, pop culture, music, mm-hmm. You know, Jenny, Souza, our good friend Maddie, Steve Bennett, they do the PTBN, you know, weekend playlist, and they've expanded to do the song mm-hmm. of the day. So there's always a great, you know, YouTube video in there that, you know, you can listen to, get you motivated. But yeah, it's a great community that we welcome everybody to.
Mm-hmm. We really do. I just went totally brain dead. Obviously that's the best way,
because we're in the opposite seats as we normally are.
Usually Andy's like all excited and Miranda closes out shows really well, and all of a sudden Miranda just went totally brain dead trying to close the show out. I think that's the best way to contact us, for sure. I always do this when I start a new podcast or do a new one. And my question to my co-host usually is, where are you comfortable with? And the reason I say this, if you've listened to my podcast before, you know why. But where, Andy, are you comfortable with people contacting you other than the group or them following you to get more information on your other podcasts, your other things that you're working on?
Just reach out on Facebook. I mean, I have a Twitter and Instagram, but I barely use them. We are going to get the place to be Twitter a little more active.
Soon. And the Instagram as well is
in the works. Yes, the Instagram and then whatever else other social media platforms there are or whatever, you know. We do have a Twitch, but we're not really involved in that, as our good friend Cal McNugal runs that. And yeah, I mean, who knows, maybe we'll do TikToks. I don't know. But yeah, Facebook is the best place to reach out to me, whether you want to do it directly or you want to post something and tag me in the group, whatever. But yeah, so check us out on the Facebook.
Okay, yeah. In the Facebook group as well, I'm comfortable with people contacting me inside the group. I do run Instagram pages for the other podcasts that I'm part of. I'm totally comfortable with people contacting me on Instagram. I'm really bad with Twitter. I'm like a baby boomer with Twitter when it comes to Twitter. Like, it makes my head hurt and I get confused and I use it really well for a couple of days and then I forget about it. I'm bad with Twitter. So I apologize, but I've noticed that I've gotten a lot of messages. I logged in yesterday and I had a lot of podcast related messages. So I apologize. It's probably better to message me on Instagram if you have one or tag me in the Place to Be Nation group.
Yeah.
Lots of things to come. Of course, check out all of the feeds that we consider part of our gigantic family. Come back and check out, if this is your first time listening because you searched the word Muppet and you decided to listen to Andy and I today, please check out all of the other shows available here on our feed, as well as any of the other feeds that you will hear us mention. Ginny Position, North South Connection, Place to Be Nation, which also we have Wrestling Network. Wrestling, which is our wrestling feed. There's literally something for everyone that your kids can listen to or just for adults. There's literally something for everyone. So I highly encourage you to check out everything. And please join us again next time when we will continue our way through season one of The Muppet Show. We may do four, we may do six. So if you're watching along with us, just go ahead and prep for four. And with that, for Andy and myself, manana.
Well, guys, it's just the three of us for a weekend in the swamp. Oh, no!